Welcome, everybody. I appreciate you taking the time to be here. It looks like I'm just barely pulling up the agenda myself. Unfortunately, I've been on the phone dealing with about three other things. It looks like we'll start with Linda Beatty. Linda is going to talk about the Hammond-Fuller appeal.
This is Linda Beatty. So I'd like to ask you all to decision on a settlement offer. Due to a technical error, the Hammond cases and the Hammond case and the Fuller case were appealed, and we believe that the case will not be resolved in our favor due to this technical error. In the Fuller case, the Kevin Fuller case, which was a Lyon under Garrity case, you voted to impose a sanction of 4 years. Our recommendation, post-recommendation, was revocation. In the Kenneth Kamen case, or Hammond case, we recommended 2 years, and you voted to impose a letter of caution. Post has agreed to present the following settlement offer for your agreement, and that settlement offer would be that Kevin Fuller would receive a sanction of a 3-year suspension, and Kenneth Hammond would receive a sanction of no action.
Sorry.
Did everybody understand the proposal?
Yes. Is it? Can we ask what the technical error was? This is Alan.
Yeah, there was a mistake in the decision, in the decision that came out of the ALJ's court. There was a technical mistake in that.
Okay.
Is that with both cases?
It wasn't in both cases, but there are other issues involved, too. We'll say that, but this is the sort of deciding factor.
Have these individuals agreed to these to this change or this modification?
So we have, and I have Stan Purser on the line, who actually negotiated this settlement, but the settlement offer has been agreed upon between the attorneys representing those parties, and we have agreed to present it to you for your agreement.
So for Fuller, it's 3 years instead of 4?
Yes.
And Hammond is no action instead of a letter?
Yes.
Linda, it wouldn't hurt to give the background on this so they have an understanding of kind of where we're at. Can you give that?
I can give that. I can. How much background do you want to? Yeah. So what has happened, and Stan, you're welcome to step in also, if you like, from their appellate division. Or would you rather I explain it?
Well, I can tell if it's about the fact, the underlying facts of either case about what either person did, I'll defer to you. If the question is about more the legal arguments in the appeal, I can address those.
I think that the issue that they're asking about is the appeal. Am I correct? Yeah. So go ahead.
Well, the common issue in both appeals is about how to interpret post-counsel's authority to review the ALJ decision and then determine the sanction. And the statute at issue, Utah Code Section 53-6-211-4, says the post-counsel shall review the ALJ's decision, and the bugaboo here is what does review mean? They're arguing post-counsel that review in this context, when you're reviewing the decision of a lower body, that the reviewing party, post-counsel, review means we can revisit, rehash, reject, vacate, anything the ALJ does. We can reject all its fact findings. We can reject its legal conclusions, and the post counsel should be able to make its own. that's a plausible, it's a, because of the way the statute is worded and structured, they have a legitimate argument. We have some on our side to argue that no review doesn't mean full-on review here. It just means post-counsel should take under consideration and base any their disciplinary action on what the ALJ found.
Would that then put into question every post-counsel case that we decide where the ALJ has been involved?
And just for clarification, this is Marcus. Just for clarification, because this is a recording, if you and we're not present, can you just indicate?
Sorry, this is Mike Haddon.
No, thank you, Mike.
Judicial decisions obviously apply to the parties before them and then apply prospectively. Parties, so it wouldn't reopen like past post-counsel decisions that didn't, you know, provide a full-on novo review.
Bruce Bailey. What happens if we reject the appeals and it goes to, I guess, trial and post loses? Do they are there their sanctions scrubbed and they get nothing?
No, I think what would happen. I mean, if we lose on this, how do you interpret this statute issue? At the very least, it goes back to post-counsel, and then post-counsel revisits both of these cases with the authority to reject the ALJ's findings and conclusions. There's another, and part of our problem here is, you know, we're trying to argue that no, this statute, Section 211, does not allow post-counsel to do a de novo review of the facts and law. The post-counsel's order in both of these cases makes a finding about whether Hammond and Fuller did what the ALJ said they did. And then, as to Hammond, he's got he's got an argument about his particular findings of assault, and that's where Linda was talking about there was an error in the ALJ decision. The ALJ did not discuss all the necessary elements of assault, mental state, and so those findings, it would be very, very difficult to sustain those findings on appeal. So we're almost certainly going to lose on that. And so, all in all, we thought, you know, given what's at stake here, you know, a letter of caution and reducing the suspension by 1 year and the hope that we can just revise this statute anyway to make it more clear what post-counsel's role is, it would be far better for everybody involved just to settle this appeal.
This is Alan. Do you need a motion then?
I think before the motion.
This is Victoria.
Sorry, this is Victoria, and I'm sitting in this room with these guys because I was out here instructing. So before a motion, and I guess the concern that I have in hearing this, and maybe the question that Mike raised, is the effect that this is going to have. Maybe not on prior cases, but on cases moving forward. It's been my experience during my time with this that the process has been a little bit muddled. I know we've talked about relitigating the ALJ's findings. It looks like in the Hammond case, there was some issues with that. But I think that before we make decisions that are going to be essentially binding on how we move forward on this. There probably at least needs to be a discussion about how we're handling this, because as I said, I know there's been a couple of times where we said we're essentially relitigating or at least trying to reopen the ALJ's findings, and that's in a meeting with where we're not present for any of the testimony, we're not present for any of the exhibits. It's just because we're reading these summaries and you know, somebody either agrees or disagrees, and so I'd like to get either some input, probably from the AG reps, about what the cleanest way is to do this moving forward. I mean, are we bound by the ALJ's legal determinations? And I guess if we don't like the idea that we're bound by the ALJ's legal determinations, are we willing in every instance to open it, to reopen it, do a full hearing of testimony? Because if so, these meetings are going to go from 2 hours, best case scenario, to probably about 3 to 5 days per quarter. So
Before we start going into this a little bit more on Victoria's issue, we appear to have two additional callers join in, and we need to keep a roster for this meeting because it is a public meeting. Can you please state who joined? If you have not stated who that you have joined previously.
Chad Self.
Thank you. And did we have
Christy
one more?
And I joined and then dropped.
Oh, you joined and okay, that's perfect. It was just we had two. Linda, did you want to talk really quick and then I can talk on my end?
So it's my understanding, and Scott, you can correct me if I'm wrong. It's my understanding that prior to the statute's revision in 2010, that this council did have appellate authority. Is that correct, Scott?
It the ALJ, for those that remember the days before 2010, the ALJ in the old statute represented the council so that the council didn't have to have the burden of listening to all these cases. So by the way it was structured in the statute, the ALJ the ruling of the ALJ could have been overruled by the council because he acted on behalf of the council. After 2010, to create a cleaner process and a fairer process for officers, we decoupled that relationship between the ALJ and the council, and now the ALJ, as you know, just is the expert in the concluder, finder of fact and concluder of law, and then whether we met the burden of proof, and then we act at the post staff as the prosecutorial end of it and the investigative arm and present it to the sanctioning body, which is the council. That is what the intent of that law was.
Director?
This is Wade. Hey, who does the ALJ, is the ALJ an employee of the Attorney General's office or the state or who?
The ALJ is a contractor. He has a contract with the Department of Public Safety.
And that's rather than having it with POST, because POST falls under DPS, is that correct?
Yes. So we contract with the ALJ, not employee. Same structure as the CSRO. They contract with ALJs to preside over these proceedings.
And his contract can be changed, you know, terminated. We can get a new ALJ. He's not an employee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Dallas, is it the same judge each time, or do you guys contract with multiple?
It has been the same judge, but we, in the past, have had two other that worked with us. But it's hard to get ALJs. It's not for a lack of recruiting. It's hard to get people to do this.
I guess one of my concerns, this is Wade again, is that just like the case yesterday, I know that, you know, I appreciate definitely where Victoria is because I understand, you know, how much time constraints we all have. But I do worry if we can't look at things beyond, I know we don't want to open that Pandora's box because retrying these things is a nightmare. However, I think we probably would have come out with a different finding if we all viewed the video yesterday.
I agree. It's Alan.
So I think, so this is Marcus Jockey.
So if I agree with that, too.
So Marcus Jockey, yeah. So as your guys' legal counsel, based on my reading of the statute and how I interpret this, and based on the former proceedings and how this was bifurcated back in 2010 and all this, post-counsel is not an appellate body. Post-counsel functions as a sanctioning body, and my advice would be to consider the ALJ's decision and identify if there's any mitigating and aggravating circumstances and then make the decision from there. By viewing the video yesterday, you guys would have become fact finders, and that would have been an issue. And so for how I mean, there's one statute in 5336107 that provides that you guys shall advise the post director, and it's in conflict with 5336211, but it does say the council shall advise the director regarding the refusal, suspension, or revocation of a certification. Now, 5336211 has that, and that's why we need to look at cleaning some of this language up. But based on how this has always gone from 2010 on, POST does function as a sanctioning body. And so Linda, Ms. Vitti, and I were I was trying to think of an analysis on this and a comparable. If you had a judge that determined facts and conclusion of law in a criminal matter and made a decision, and then the individual said they wanted the sentencing to occur at a later date, and for some reason another judge was placed in on top of that sentencing, that sentencing judge would not overturn the previous judge's decision. They would simply impose a sentencing based on that judge's decision. And that's how post-counsel needs to operate, is as a sanctioning body. Because the ALJ's decision, he has listened to and vetted these witnesses to determine if they are credible. He has listened to the witnesses, their testimony. He has reviewed facts. He has watched the video. And with the matter yesterday, since it's resolved and it's not likely to get appealed, with the video, he reviewed the video, and they had four science experts review it as well. So all of that occurred over a two-day hearing. If, as Victoria was saying earlier, if we go back to a body, an appellate body that can review de novo, these matters will extend 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 days. Because you will have these individuals presenting the entire case before the body again.
Okay.
Hey, Marcus, this is Mike Patton. Just really, really quick, is there a statutory fix?
So
this is Spence Austin. I see on the agenda that you've got a proposed statutory fix. I don't feel comfortable on a telephone call talking about a proposed statutory fix. I would prefer to move that to the December meeting where we all have copies of the statute in front of us and we all have an opportunity to sit around and talk about where the council wants to be on this.
Well, this is Frank, I think that's a good idea. Without being able to see the statute and see what we would change and what the implications are, I'm loath to give an opinion on where we ought to be.
Absolutely.
I also agree. Sorry, this is Mike Cadden.
Today, and I told they're not ready.
Yeah, and this is Mike Cadden again. I'm not suggesting that we adopt one. I was just asking the question if there was one.
So we have been working on it. Right now we're just in a draft phase, in a very early draft phase, and we had some early language that we've been looking at. Again, what we have is just proposal. I'll turn some time over to Director Stevenson to talk a little bit more about that.
So, Council, my hopes was to try to get a sponsor and have it at least introduced in the interim session to try to get a lot of the legwork done prior to the session.
And this is Spence Austin again. In all fairness, if you haven't gotten it introduced by, you know, in September, it's not going to do anything in interim. You're going to be in the regular session. They're not going to look at it in interim.
Well, I've been told that's not, it's not an impossibility. So
it would be very, very tough. You know, now we're getting into timing of, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and the holidays and everything else. And generally, if it's not there by September and have being heard by the committees, you've got a problem. That doesn't mean you're not going to get it in the next session. You might. But, you know, once again, I don't feel comfortable doing this on the telephone when we don't have everything in front of us.
Well, I'm also trying to avoid other appeals.
I understand. If we want to have another meeting where we all get together, that's another thing. But I would make a motion that we table this until the next meeting. If that's December, it's December. If we have one before that, we have one before that.
Sure.
But I think everybody needs to have it in front of them.
Okay, just for clarification, are you tabling just item number 3, the proposed statute change? Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to make clarification that you weren't tabling the Hammond-Fuller appeal matter. You're just
no.
Okay,
no.
Okay,
I don't think we should talk about a statutory change until we have everybody has an opportunity to have read it, see what's you know, what the proposed changes are, and discuss how those changes will impact how council conducts business going forward.
Well, and this is Victoria again, and maybe it was either Mike's question or my question. I don't know that anybody had intended to get there. I guess my concern is, and where I'm sitting here, is that we've got the advice of both Council for Post, Council for the Post Council, and the Appellate Division of the AG's office right now seemingly indicating that they are presenting this agreement to us and that they believe that this is probably in the best interest. But that transitioned for me to the next necessary step, and I think if we need to get together for it, that's completely fine. But we have to probably make it a priority and move quickly to prevent repeals and to stop or to figure out what the process is, so that this doesn't happen. The other thing that I think we're concerned about is, of course, adopting this settlement agreement might be in best interest, but I think it's also setting a precedent and a tone going forward. So unless we figure out how to stop this in the future, we're going to be right back in this scenario as soon as the next meeting happens.
So, Chief, so Chairman Carpenter, we do have a motion on item number 3.
Okay, to table that, is that correct?
Yeah, so I'm trying to keep the...
Could we come up with a alternate date? I guess my suggestion, if we're still... Do you want me to ask for a second and then we can ask for discussion?
So, I mean, my thing is we were still on item number 2. We can come back to item number 3 if you'd want. I'm just trying to keep a clean record.
Let's finish number 2 first, and then we'll move on to 3, would be my recommendation. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, so just because we are on item number 2 and we hadn't officially – and not to say anything against Deputy Austin, but just moving, just so we're keeping a clean record for the purposes of the agenda. So if we can stay on item number 2 for right now, and then we can move with, we can table, we can have that motion on the say.
So I would like to move back to Hammond-Fuller appeal. Are we completed? Do we have more questions on that before we move on and take a vote on that? Any more questions on Hammond-Fuller appeal?
This is Victoria. Are there any additional terms of that settlement other than it turns on Hammond from a letter to no action and on Fuller from 3 years down to a 3 years? Are there any additional terms or stipulations or anything of that nature?
The council's decision would then be reflected in new orders that show the change to the discipline, and that those changes also be reflected in, you know, post-council minutes and any revisions to the websites. Basically, that any decision, you know, if the council were to approve this settlement agreement and these new disciplines, that that be sort of the public record going forward as to these two individuals. Did that make sense?
Yes, and so that would be on post end, and we would work with Julie on that to make sure, and other individuals here to make sure that is correct.
And then I would just add, though, I mean, those are the main terms. The rest of the settlement terms would just be your, you know, standard releases for each party, that they hold each other harmless and waive any claims. Just sort of the very standard stuff that's in all settlement agreements.
So would you like a motion?
Yes.
Do we have a motion to accept as presented by post staff?
So moved. This is Mike Abbott.
Got a motion.
I'll second
Mike.
That.
Second. Is that
Spence
Austin?
Austin will second. Yep.
Second for Spence Austin. Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? If you're opposed, let me know.
Can I go name by name just because this is a
yeah.
Thing?
Yep.
So please indicate by name with your vote. I'll read a list. So Frank Budd.
Aye.
Bruce Bailey.
Aye.
Spencer Austin.
Aye.
Victoria McFarland.
Aye.
Matt Checkett.
Aye.
Don Crowley.
Aye.
Mike Haddon.
Aye.
Chrissy Morin.
Aye.
Alan Swanson.
Aye.
Chad Sove.
Aye.
And I believe that's all the council members, voting council members. Chairman Carpenter does not vote unless it's a tie.
Okay, thank you. With that, are we ready to move to proposed statute change, item number 3?
Believe so.
Okay, let's move ahead.
We do have a motion on the table from Spencer Austin that we can bring back up.
And that motion would be that we put off a discussion of this until a later time. And if I agree with Victoria that we want to do this sooner rather than later. We perhaps don't want to wait till December, but I think we should all be in a room where we have an opportunity to take a look at the current language, the proposed language, and discuss it before we take a vote on it. I think doing it on the phone with no one having the language in front of them and the opportunity to really bat it around is just not a good way to move forward. So I would say let's have either a meeting or put it off until December. That's
Ben,
a motion.
Ben, just a point of clarification, this is Victoria. If we are going to set that meeting and we are going to kind of make it a priority, are we in turn asking Post at that time to have proposed language prepared so that everybody can discuss it? Because it's my understanding that the language hasn't been prepared. Or are you intending to make this almost more of a work group type of situation?
Well, I would suggest that we have them prepare proposed language. And I don't know what kind of time that they would need to do that. But whatever time they need, obviously we give it to them. And then we have a meeting and we discuss the proposed language. And everybody may decide that the proposed language is absolutely fine. But I think it should be in front of everyone before we have a vote that we want to change the statute in that fashion.
So we have a motion.
I'd second that, Chad Silk.
So we've got a second. Any further discussion? No further discussion. We'll call for the vote. Those in favor? We'll go ahead
Aye.
And count by the
roll call. Do you want to do roll call one more?
Yes, roll call.
Roll call vote. Frank Budd?
Aye.
Bruce Bailey?
Aye.
Spencer Austin?
Aye.
Victoria McFarland?
Aye.
Matt Checkett?
Aye.
John Crowley?
Aye.
Mike Haddon?
Aye.
Christy Morin?
Aye.
Alan Swanson?
Aye.
And Chad Hope?
Aye.
Thank you.
I believe there's no opposed, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay,
so, Chair, can we throw out some dates?
Yeah, let's do that now. That's fine.
How about September 30th?
This is Frank. That's the old thing with me.
That's close.
Is that next? September 30th?
Next Monday.
4 days away.
Well, Mike, this is Alan. My question is, can you have the language ready by then?
Yes. What time are you looking at? I do have a conflict at 4 p.m.
We can do it 10 a.m.
Let's do it 10 a.m. if that works for everyone.
I can't make it at 10. I can make it at 10:30.
10:30 a.m.?
This is Bruce Bailey, sorry.
I don't know how long it goes.
What about 1300?
I actually have one at 1300, a meeting. I'll try it from 1 to 3.
What about 1100? This is Mike Haddon.
How long do we anticipate it taking? Any idea?
Short.
Okay. 11? Does that work for everyone?
Yes.
Yeah. Make it work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And then we will contact, I'll work with Julie to make sure we contact the remaining post-council members to see if they can join as well.
And that will
so
be at post-council?
That's
Chambers.
Monday, the 30th?
At 11 o'clock.
Tomorrow afternoon.
Okay. Council, we can have the language to you tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Can we, this is Frank, can we see what the current language is and then be able to compare it with the proposed language?
Yeah, it'll be under
a
tracking feature so you can see what's deleted, what we're proposing to delete and add.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, everyone. Any other further business?
Nope. We are
good.
So
we'll have the meeting at post at 11 o'clock on Monday.
Can I have a motion to adjourn, please? Yes, at 11 o'clock on Monday the 30th. At 11.
Yes. And for those that can't attend, call in.
Make it 11. This is the 10 o'clock meeting at College Drive that I'm in with Sean, and I'm just stressed that they may not let me out of that in time. I know that.
Council, Linda Beatty has a meeting and is a little bit concerned about 11 o'clock. Does 11:30 cause an undue burden on someone?
No.
Nope.
We will be done at 12.
Nope.
Okay.
That works.
I appreciate it.
We'll do 11:30 on the 30th.
Okay.
I appreciate your time and decorum. Thank you.
Thanks, Director. Appreciate it. Thanks, everyone else.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Need to just a motion really quick to adjourn. We don't need a vote.
Oh, motion to adjourn?
Seconded. John Crowley.
Thanks.
Okay. That's it.
Right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.